Our gospel for today comes from Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich toward God. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God, our Creator, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a relatively new cartoon show that has come out called Bluey. It's about a family of four dogs that live in Australia, and the episodes are just about regular day-to-day things that happen in the life of this family. The best part about it is that it's equally funny for the adults as it is for the kids. There's this one episode in particular called Sticky Gecko that I just couldn't stop laughing at. The mom is trying to get her kids ready to go to the park for a play date. So the mom says, "Okay, it's time to get ready, kids." And of course, right at that moment, one of the kids throws a sticky gecko toy on the ceiling, and now they have to wait for it to fall before they leave. One of the kids is standing there just waiting for this gecko to fall, but she needs to get ready. So mom says, no, I'll do that. I'll stay here and you go get ready. So mom takes over the job of standing here waiting for Sticky Gecko to fall while tidying up a little bit and to help their girls somehow get ready to go at the same time. The younger sister needs to brush her teeth, which are covered in green spinach, so she goes off to brush her teeth. The older sister wants to wear her hat, but she can't find it and, of course, has looked everywhere, right? But then mom notices it on the coat rack by the door. So she tells her older daughter where it is so she can go and grab it. And in the process, the daughter knocks the entire coat rack on the floor. So now they have to pick that up, too. And remember, Sticky Gecko is still on the ceiling, so mom is trying to help while very patiently waiting for Sticky Gecko to fall down so she can catch him. She's a much better mother than I am, let me tell you. Meanwhile, the younger sister, who went to brush her teeth, got distracted and has still not brushed her teeth. Okay? So she goes back upstairs to try again. Then the older sister gets distracted and decides she wants to put her lucky pin on her hat on one side, which of course involves her to go back upstairs and look for this pin. The mother agrees, but first asks her to go and find something really long, like a broom or a hockey stick, so she can try to knock Sticky Gecko off the ceiling. But the only thing the older sister can find is this rather large toy that makes a really obnoxious sound, okay? Still, mom is running out of options here, so she takes the toy, stands on a chair, and starts hitting the Sticky Gecko on the ceiling each time, of course, making this horrible, obnoxious sound that sounds like a bird being murdered, okay? Meanwhile, the younger daughter has finally come downstairs, has actually brushed her teeth, and now she needs to put on her shoes. But then she sees her roller skates, and so she says, "No, Mom, can I wear the roller skates instead of my shoes?" Now, Mom is hesitant because she knows it will take longer, but she's trying to figure out this whole Sticky Gecko thing. So she says, "Fine, bring them here and I'll help you put them on." To which the daughter, who has just started learning to tie her shoes, says, "No, I want to do it myself." She then proceeds to take 5 minutes to tie her shoes, and then she realizes she put them on the wrong feet. So she has to do it all over again. At this point, the older daughter comes down having found the pin to put in her hat, but she realizes she left her hat on the coat rack when they cleaned everything up. Can you guess what happens next? The coat rack falls over again, and now they have to pick up all of that stuff again. At this point, the mom loses it. She sits down in a chair by the door and says, "Fine, we're not going anywhere. We're going to stay home all day and do nothing." The kids finally realize that mom's a little upset. And so they ask the mom very patiently, "Why?" To which mom replies, "Because it's impossible to get you ready to get out the door on time." Again, they ask the question, "Why?" To which the mom replies, "Because you're kids and you don't care about being on time. You just want to play and have fun." The kids keep asking why, which is usually very annoying to me. But in this case, it helps the mom to calm down and realize what's more important: being on time to a play date in order to try to live up to her friend's standard of always being on time, or making sure the kids have what they need while having a little fun as well. The mom also discovers through this interaction that the kids are a little nervous about this play date because they hadn't seen this kid in a really, really long time. And they're afraid she won't like them or won't want to play with them. But after talking through everything, the kids finally get out the door and mom catches Sticky Gecko just before they leave. After seeing this episode for the very first time, the first thing I said to myself was, "Oh my goodness, this is my life." This happens on a daily basis in my house. I lost my spot. The important thing to remember and think about in the midst of all of the craziness is the why behind it all. Why am I getting upset? Is it warranted? Why am I buying expensive shoes or a new car? Is it because I need or want one for myself? Which is totally okay to want things and treat yourself, by the way. But think about the why. Why am I doing it? Is it to impress other people? Why am I wearing makeup? Is it because it makes me feel confident about myself and I want to wear makeup? Or is it, again, because I feel like it's expected for me to keep up appearances with everyone else, and that's what society tells us we're supposed to do? Why am I stressing out about getting the house clean before so-and-so comes over? Is it because it needs to be cleaned? Or is it because I feel as though I need to look perfect to impress my friends or family, or because I'm afraid I'll be judged? This is a big one for me. We put so much pressure on ourselves, and oftentimes that then puts pressure on our family and friends as well, sometimes hurting the relationship and missing out on what's really important. And I think our scripture lessons for today are calling us to stop and ask ourselves why in every aspect of our lives. And as Christians, we should also be asking, how is God involved in our everyday lives and decision making? Our Old Testament lesson sets the stage for this. Now, to give you a little historical context, when Hosea writes this, the people of Israel have been conquered and scattered across all the known world. Many of them are slaves, not being treated well, not having many possessions, and possibly lacking basic needs. Life is surely less glamorous than it used to be. God's people most likely lost hope that they will ever see certain friends or family or their religious community ever again. And this occurred over many generations and hundreds of years. Perhaps they are asking, why should we even trust in God anymore? What's the point in trying to keep our faith alive? Will this promised Messiah ever come to save us and unite us once again as God promised? Will this Sticky Gecko ever fall down from the ceiling so I can get on with my life? But in a way, this time of separation from one another, also gave them the opportunity to ask the important question of why in a different way. Why do I believe what I do? Why do I have hope in God? And that's what Hosea is reminding them of in our passage for today, personifying God as a loving parent who helps them throughout their lives and just loves them so much, reminding them that God is dedicated to God's people and promises never to leave them and will always be with them, even in the toughest times. And because God keeps God's promises, they can and should rely on God above all else, so that when the tough times come, they will remain strong in their faith and will be able to survive and overcome any difficult situation they face. Now, I want to be absolutely clear. This does not mean that God is a magic genie who will solve all of your problems for you or will magically provide you all that you need. And though I've said it before, I'd like to say again that I do not believe in the prosperity gospel, which says that if you are good and do everything right, God will bless you with everything you need and want and more. There are people who are struggling financially because they lost their job, either to the pandemic or something else, and now cannot afford to buy food or provide for their family. There are people who struggle with the horrible disease of addiction or are suffering from a mental illness, and their lives have just spiraled downward, so they are homeless and having to beg for food. And once you're there, it's really hard to get out of that. There are people who are not given the same opportunities in education or job opportunities, and so it's way more difficult for them to get jobs that pay more than minimum wage. I assure you that God loves these people just as much as God loves you. From our Lutheran perspective, relying on God means regularly reflecting on the varied gifts that we have received of time, money, and talents, and asking that important question of why. Why do we spend our money the way we do? Why do we buy this or that? Why is my time mostly consumed by fill in the blank? Why do I think the way I do about X? Why am I so concerned about dot, dot, dot? And again, how is God involved in these various areas of my life? When Jeremy and I were first married, the biggest thing we struggled with and learned about in premarital counseling was finances. We called it our lightning rod issue because no matter what disagreement we were having, it somehow always came back to finances. And this was because there was nothing wrong with how we were spending our money, but we just thought differently about money because we were raised differently and taught how to handle money differently. And we struggled with this for the first few years of our life until I was in a wellness seminar and someone suggested that people should pray together before they look at and plan their finances. How many of you sit down and pray before you look at your budget? Right? That is the weirdest thing, and a very different mentality to have. But we tried it, and it actually helped us a lot because it framed our minds to look at our finances and ask, why are we spending the way we do, and how can we glorify God with our finances? And that's exactly what our gospel for today is talking about, asking the why and seeing how we can glorify God with what we have. Our gospel starts with two brothers who are arguing over their inheritance. So their minds are already in a place of, what am I going to get? And even, what do I deserve? So Jesus tells a story about greed, about a man who hoards all of his money and puts it into a barn and builds bigger barns so that he can not only live but have a very comfortable life for the rest of his life. But what if your life would end tomorrow, Jesus suggests, or next week, or even the next 5 years, then what? How would that change your thinking? Now, I've heard people read this scripture text and think, does this mean I shouldn't plan for the future? Should I not have a savings account? Should I not be putting money into a trust for my kids? Is it a sin to want more? No, that's not greed. That's being responsible with the gifts that God has given you. So I do not believe that Jesus is trying to get at this here. Jesus doesn't want everyone to be homeless and destitute and living paycheck to paycheck. Instead, Jesus wants all people to be taken care of and have the same opportunities, because this is what all people deserve. And so Jesus is asking us to think about the why and consider how we might be able to help those in need with what we have. How are we relying on God in our everyday lives? And what are we missing out on if our main focus is just trying to get out the door and only thinking about what's going to happen next instead of what's happening right now? We're living with the mentality of waiting for something to happen so that you can get on with your life as it should be, right? When I get the big promotion, then I can. When we win the lottery, I will. When the kids are out of the house, I can finally. Asking why can also help us live more fully in the moment and be more grateful for what we have and help us to be even happier from day to day. May God help us to ask that difficult why question, especially in those sticky gecko situations. Amen.